Good morning.
Good morning.
We've been in a series entitled Renewing Your Mind. I think you need to know something about the way God brought this series about a little bit. About 2 years ago, I think it was a Tuesday or Wednesday morning, I got down on this, in my hands and knees before God right here on this little altar, these little steps or something, and said, God, I feel like I'm missing something. I feel like I'm missing a part of you. And I said, God, I'm asking you to open my mind to the deeper things of God. I'm asking you to restore maybe what's been lost. God, I'm asking you to change my perspective. God, I'm asking you to do something that I think can only happen supernaturally. And God instantly began to do that. And how did He instantly begin to do that? One, He challenged me about what I was reading or listening to. Practical, kind of everyday stuff. He also challenged me what I watch with my eyes, hear with my ears. Kind of practical stuff. Really didn't have to overthink that too much. There wasn't some great switch that got flipped that morning. I think probably what happened that morning was this. The Holy Spirit was working and moving and speaking and challenging me and saying, Dane, you're missing out on something. There's more to God than what you believe that you have come to know at this point in your life. And He would like more of you so He can have, or you can have all of Him. And through a series of things, God has continued to do that in my life even to this point. I challenge myself on a daily basis on if I'm going to grow or not grow regardless of circumstances. As a matter of fact, we say this a lot around here. We want to move from a have to a get to. Well, a few months ago, I think God did one of these. I want to add to that. I want you to move from a get-to to a have-to to a want-to. So I ask you a very simple question, regardless of your age and where you are in life today. Is there any want-to to know God anymore? Or have you come to a point where this is kind of good enough? I've arrived at a point, I'm good. I'm okay. Maybe you've read through the Bible. Maybe it fell open and it read you. Maybe you've listened to 1,000 sermons, which if I calculate it, do you realize some of you that have been in church for years, do you realize you have listened to 1,000 sermons? Literally? Okay, literally you've listened to 1,000 sermons. Literally you've probably heard God loves you 1,000 or 2,000 times. Literally. I think one of the things that God is wanting us to do in our lives right now, church, is move from a have to a get to I want Him. I mean, I really do want Him. Do you really want Him? I'm not talking about opening up the Word of God and just to memorize a verse so you can quote it and look smart in front of somebody else. Okay? Even Satan can do that. I'm talking about let it penetrate down to the depths. That Scripture that talks about the Word of God penetrates deeply. God's Word penetrates deeply because that's where life change happens. So we're on our third sermon today, and we're going to take a little break from this sermon series as we enter holiday season and baseball camp's coming up. So the third one on renewing your mind, we're going to talk about something that eludes us, escapes us, that we know what the word means, but I'm not sure how much we live in it, and that is the word peace. Not by show of hands, but how many honestly today, if you could just obtain a few more minutes of peace a day, you believe your life would be different. Some in the back row are giving me two hands because it's honest, and that's honest too. You know, I always ask you this question, was what does your mind go to at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning? What does your mind go to when you're having a good day or a bad day? Where do you dwell? In the land of uncertainty, the land of obscurity, the land of fear? Because when we talk about renewing your mind for peace, we're not talking about a word that we're going to say a million times in the next 2 months. We're talking about a way of life. We're talking about a place that we're supposed to land and live because we praise and worship the Prince of Peace. So as we begin this morning, as I did for you last week, we're going to have a brief review of the first 2 weeks. So again, if you haven't got the notes, I'm cool with you taking your cameras out. If you need me to say, dang, move, I'm even cool with doing that. Or you can turn around and do it that way. So renewing your mind, it says in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. I've expressed to you that the best that I can submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the importance of starting with taking inventory of your thought life. Do you live in the land of worry, anxiousness, anxiety? Do you live in the land of, I don't know what the future holds and it scares me to death? Or do you live in the land of peacefulness and trust and that God loves you, but it's not something you give words to, it's a way of life? To exist in the peace that God offers us and describes to us takes renewing of our minds. Not just one time, but forever and ever. So take an inventory of your thought life today. What have your thoughts been like? And I told you this, we are built for love, not fear. We are built for relationships, not isolation. But the trouble that comes to most of us is this. Our thoughts impact our brain, which impacts our actions. But the trouble is this. Most of us think lazily. Most of us just kind of don't worry about what we think. Most of us just allow the world, the flesh, and the devil just to impact us. You remember what I said to you a few minutes ago when I started this journey? That God talked to me about what I listen to, what I watch, what I read, how I talk, how I listen to others talk. Do you see, we live an all-encompassing life. We do not get to separate it on the parts we like or don't like. God is an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present God. And so therefore, everything in our lives impacts others and others impact us. We don't get to compartmentalize and say, that doesn't affect us. No. It really does. So take inventory of your thought life. Number two, which thoughts do you struggle with the most? Be honest. I didn't say all of them. I said land on one or two. Just encourage you to start. You got to get started in renewing your mind. God's not asking us to do something on our own. He's asking us to join Him in what He's already desires to do. So which thoughts do you struggle with the most? And then I told you in number three, use the truth to defeat a lie. Maybe you're saying, I just can't trust God like He wants me to. That's a lie. What's the truth? He's always faithful. He's always good. He's always worthy of praise. You can trust Him when you don't feel Him because your feelings will lie to you. The fact is that Jesus, we were paid for and bought for freedom through Jesus Christ. He came to fulfill the law. He's our risen Savior. Those are truths. And you probably at times struggle with all kinds of different lies. We're not going to give a place to those. We're not going to give a place to those. Number four in our review today is God has given us responsibility. This would change our entire culture, this next statement. Are you ready? Get ready. Brace yourselves. Listen to the whole thing or you'll be ready to kick me out of here. We're not victims. We've just had things that happen to us in circumstances. We're not victims. We've just had things happen to us in circumstances that we couldn't control. Take responsibility for your thought life. Take responsibility with the lies. Take responsibility with the truth. Take ownership in what God is trying to do in us today. This renewing of our mind, it really is a process. But if you leave here and say it's for tomorrow, I'll get around to it later, then you're missing out. And what, in fact, one of the things you're trying to do is you're trying to hold out on God, and God will, He refuses to be held out on. So we don't want to dwell on the land of what could, should, and would like to be. We want to live in the land of reality that God is renewing our minds. How desperate are some of the people in your lives for you to think differently? How badly are there individuals that you come in contact with, that you have conversations, that you need to change the way you speak and act with the process beginning in your thought life? Because I guarantee you something, there's somebody in here today that you act and speak towards others because you believe, you think they deserve that, and I'm not talking about in a godly way. You will use these words. That's the only language they can understand. Let me tell you what you were built to understand. Love. You were built to understand the words of love. Not fear and not isolation. And the last one is a review. Is number five is this. What's on your mind comes out in your life. I want you to just pause right there for a second. Think about that. What's on your mind comes out in your life. How often have you said something like this? I regret what I said. A thought begets a word, a physical action. You didn't act without thinking or saying it first. That's the reality. That's the truth. You can try to excuse that behavior. You can try to excuse those words. You can do whatever you want to try to come up with, but that's not the truth. That's believing a lie. The truth is you are responsible for your thoughts. The truth is the mind is a battlefield, and you need to recognize that truth today. What's on your mind comes out in your life. It says in Psalms 143:5, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. Looking to what God has done for you and is doing for you and will continue to do for you. And I'm not talking about circumstances. I'm talking about walking through the valley of the shadow of death because you have no fear. For His rod and His staff, they really do comfort you. You won't fear the future because the truth is, He said, I'll walk with you. I'll be with you. I'll love you no matter what. You are built to have an impact on this world. Even if you don't feel adequate, that's a lie. But embrace the truth that you are gifted, you are called, you have talents, and you have resources. And those things do not change upon your mood. They are dependent upon an almighty, sovereign God. And Philippians 4:8-9 says, summing it all up, friends. I love what Paul said. I just love it. I read it to you last week if you're here. Summing it all up, friends. I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best. He's not talking about man's best. He's talking about God's best. Not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you've heard and saw and realized. You do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work into His most excellent harmonies. To summarize is this. When you think of the things of God, you'll act like God and you'll trust God when you don't know what's coming next. And to act and think and to be upon the things of God takes real effort. If you remember, I told you week one, this is real work. And you might think, oh man, I don't need one more thing to work on. Let me tell you something, you can't afford not to work on this. You can't afford it because there are kids, there are adults, there's people that aren't even born yet are dependent on you to embrace the truth that God is in a renewing business. God is renewing us, church. God will renew us before He sweeps through and convicts the atheists and the agnostics, the Muslims, the Hindus. God wants to renew His church because this is the instrument of righteousness right here. Okay? It's not somebody else's responsibility. We're going to put the effort in. We're going to put the work in. We're going to do what it takes to get our minds renewed and begin a lifelong process because it's of God. He's in it. But today, let's center on one thing, the peace of God. Because it's hard. How hard is it when your mind is going every which way to focus on one thing? You're thinking of the bills that need to be paid. You're thinking of health. You're thinking of family. You're thinking of, and you fill in the blank, and you're like, and He wants me to have the peace of God? Yes. Yes. He wasn't the Prince of some peace. He's not the Prince of peace when you're having a good day or in a good mood. He is the Prince of peace, and there's a period after that. He's a wonderful counselor. Period. He is the Almighty. Period. So today as we look at the point number one of this, peace. For as He thinks in His heart, so is He in your heart. You know something about our thoughts? Sometimes it just escapes us. The obvious is this. When you think about something, how does it impact you emotionally? Where does it lead you? What path does your thoughts lead you down? Is your life more negative in thinking? Or is it more positive in thinking? And I'm not talking about the glass half full or half empty. That's man's terminology. With God, it's full. But we don't always see that it's full because we're seeing it through our colored lenses. And what we see is it can't happen. I just don't see how it's going to happen. And God's like, that's because I'm in it and I'm through it and I'm on it and I'm going to see it happen because I care about you and I love you no matter what. So God's goodness is not based on our view of circumstances. Look what it says in Philippians 1:12-14. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. What happened to Paul? He's in prison. He's on the death march. He's a dead man walking. He's on his way to Rome to be executed. For what? The gospel of Christ. Paul could have easily posted on social media, I didn't do anything wrong. I've been accused for something that's wrong. I'm a victim. Does anybody care that I'm in prison? As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. You can take that a lot of ways, but let me give you a couple points. One, hey, Paul made it so this thing that he says is Christ is in me, he can do all things to strengthen me. Man, it must really work because he's on his way to die and he's in prison. And yet he's still proclaiming the gospel. So I'm out here living in freedom. I've got the good life. I've got a job. I've got food on the table. I got clothes on my back. Then I think I should be able to do it where I am. And if something happens to me that I don't like, someone makes fun of me, puts me down, calls me a Jesus freak, it's okay. You'll be okay. I'll be okay. Don't ever say, I wish I had, and say, I'm glad I did. Don't ever say, I wish I had, and say, I'm glad I did. Remember this phrase from the last 2 weeks? Your life's headed in the direction of your strongest thought. If you think you're a loser, then Satan will be willing to come right alongside you and say, boy, you sure did get that one right. God says, not only do I not think you're a loser, I think you're worth of every moment of investment that I give into your life. And even if circumstances become difficult, even if there's uncertainty in your life, and even if you're wondering what's going to happen next, I want you to know, because you thought upon that which is admirable and lovely and of God, those are just circumstances. And I know the end of the story. I know the end of the story, and I know the author. You and I don't have a total view of all that God's up to. I would encourage you today, as you're thinking about renewing your mind, ask God to give you a new perspective on Him. Ask God to give you a new perspective on Him. Think of the times that you thought something was bad, that you weren't going to get through it, and then you saw how God worked and God moved and God used that circumstance to bring you closer to Him. But it wasn't just a momentary closeness. It was a lasting closeness. He's in prison, and he steps back and he says, whoa, my thought was, this stinks. But the reality was, God's using it for others. Don't know their name, don't know where they live, don't know their outcome, don't know how they're going to use it, but I trust the sovereignty of God to use this in other people's lives. God's goodness is not based on our perspective. You know, I don't read a lot of classical literature, but here's a quote for you classical literature people that I think applies to this today. The good old Red Queen in Alice in Wonderland has a famous quote, and I think it applies to us. You ready? The Red Queen says, you're going to have to run as fast as you can all the time just to stay where you are. Is that the way you feel about life? I'm going as hard as I can go, but honest to goodness, I think I'm running in mud and quicksand. I'm doing all I know to do. Today, how about not step back? How about capture that thought that says, I'm not going to be obedient to the bottom. I'm going to be obedient to the thought that says I can trust my sovereign God, and I'm going to begin to change my perspective and start to see it through His life. And I'm not just going to quote scriptures that sound good to others, but I'm going to be to absorb them into my life so I can move from a get to a have to a want to. I just want to fall in love with Him more. I just want to have an impact on this world. I just want to be what He wants me to be. Through the renewing of your mind, you can interpret circumstances through the goodness of God. Through the interpreting and renewing of your mind, you can interpret circumstances through the goodness of God. Are you willing to engage Him in the process? The lie, it's too late, it's not too late until they put the dirt on you. It's not too late until they put the dirt on you. God's goodness is not based on our view of circumstances. You and I don't know the whole story. In fact, I'd be willing to tell you, you and I will probably never know the whole story until eternity begins in the presence of the living God. Number two, God's peace is for you. Do you believe that? Do you really believe today that God's peace is for you? I know that some of you are just like me, and the fact that you would love it if God just simply laid out, you do A plus B and you get the C you want. You do the A plus the B, you get the C you want. Man, I tell you what, I've lived in that whole and they'll live that lie way too many times. Because then it's based on me, not based on Him. Look what it says in Philippians 4:6-9. Do not be anxious about anything. If we could just stay right there and take that thought captive and make it in our minds the truth, the reality, and form those new pathways I talked to y'all about last week, that we have pathways in our minds after we form thoughts. Every thought is equal as far as it forms pathways, good or bad. It's still forming thoughts. It's a scientific thing. You can argue with me later, but I'm going to point you to my source and you can go call them all day long. Scientific thought, when you think a thought, a pathway is formed in your mind, good or bad. Good or bad. So don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, and anything, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I think that's powerful just right there. Asking Him, receiving what He does. Do you really believe the truth? Is your thought life that God cares about you intimately and personally? That what's going on in your life, God considers to be worthwhile to be involved in. Now, He may be making adjustments to that, but He does desire to be intimately involved in your life. And therefore, He does desire to renew your mind and see your mind think upon Him. God's peace is for you. What if you just made that first part? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. What if you just stayed right there for the next month? I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the bank account says. But today I'm going to dwell upon the goodness of God. Maybe I got myself into this jam, but I believe trusting Him, I can see good come of it. And in His time, I can be worked out of that jam. I'm going to quit doing all the thinking, and I'm going to let God begin my thinking. Yesterday, Kelly and I did a catering event for the Rock and Roll Marathon. And we had to get up at 4 a.m. I know some of you don't know this, but there is a 4 a.m. on the clock. Okay, I know some of you are like, only in hell can there be 4 a.m. I know what you're thinking. That's important to the story, by the way. Kelly's sitting back there. She probably knows what's coming next. So we show up at Forsyth Park about 5 o'clock a.m. to get ready. You know, it's dark at 5 a.m. Do y'all know that? And yesterday, it was kind of cool. They didn't have any lights. It was completely dark. We were using our phones to set up for a catering event. It was quite comical at first. But I saw two police officers come into our tent because we had the coffee set up already, and couldn't really see them. And I said, they were from here like Brian and Jerry. I said, oh man, I'm so glad you guys are here. And they're like, why? I said, because my wife's here and I need your protection. And of course, I could see the look on their face just enough to know there's a madman who's wandered into the tent, because they were there to protect the tent from people wandering through the park during the night, right? And they just look at him. I go, no, I'm really glad you're here. I said, because I need protecting from her. And one of them kind of gets a smile on his face a little bit. And then Kathy wanders in, and I said, she's not a morning person. It could get ugly. True story, isn't it, Kat? Huh? True story. You know, guys, there's, let me put it to you this way. Most of us are experts about taking anthills and turning them into mountains. Now, there's real uncertainty. There's real unknown. But what if you took every unknown, every uncertainty, every fear, every lie, and just simply said, but today, just for today, I'm going to claim the peace of God in my life. I can't claim it for anybody else, but I'm going to claim it in my life. Do your part. Trust God with His part. You know, point number one says something about view your circumstances from God's point of view. You know, something was always curious to me about the story of Job. He's the guy in the Old Testament that Satan knocked on heaven's door, no pun intended for the song, and said, hey, I've been looking for somebody to put through the ringer to see if they really want to follow you. You know what gets left out in that story so often, church? Who chose Job for the assignment? God did. God chose him, and Job, according to Scripture, we never find out that he knows the reason behind it all happening. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think it would have changed anything if he had known? I don't think so. I think he was steadfast. I think his foundation was firm in the sovereignty of God. I think he knew who his blessings came from, and I think he knew what his mission was. He may have not known every detail, but he knew he could trust in the certainty, the sovereignty, the love, and the plan of God. So you can't quote a verse and then go out and live it your way. You can't claim something as your own and then add to it because you kind of like a little bit twist on it. God's peace is for you. When he tells us in Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving present your request to God, there's a period at the end of that sentence. He's not looking for dang suggestions. He's not looking for Dane's thoughts to start the process. He's saying, set your mind upon a truth, that you can trust Him, that you can believe in Him, and you can stand firm. Which, by the way, when you're reading the Bible, it says stand firm. It doesn't mean do nothing. It means stand firm, and you will be called into action. Stand firm today, church. What is your thought life really like? God's peace is obtainable to you. And number three, renewing our minds is a lifelong process. You know, one of the things that's interesting about this subject matter to me is I told you a while ago, it didn't start 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months. It started over 2 years ago. That's when I can point to it. But it really started from the moment of birth. Renewing our minds is a lifelong process. We don't get to arrive at a point, put a stake in the ground, go, I've got it covered. For though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. What's the world do? Argue, spew lies, spews hatred, exhibit bitterness and malice. The weapons we fight with, they're not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Don't you wish it was that easy some days? What if I told you, I think it is. Renewing our minds is a lifelong process. Starting is embracing the truth that it is a lifelong process. And that our weapons, I'm not smart enough to outthink every form of evil coming at me every day. Some of you go into environments, they're not godly. Some of you go to places, they're not godly. And you're not choosing to go there because you want to be there. You're choosing there because God's called you there. If it was that easy, then we would never have missions. We would just sit here. For though we live in a world, we're not going to wage war today. That person or persons that you consider your enemy is a creation of the living God that took the time to know the hairs on their head just like He knows the hair on your head and on my head. But renewing our minds is a lifelong process. We will not give up and we will not give in. We're going to walk in the truth and be obedient in the truth. I read a thing recently said that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over 8 weeks can actually be measured on a brain scan. Remember those pathways? Remember the way your brain develops? Did you know the cliche, you can't teach an old dog a new trick, is a lie? Your brain continues to grow from the moment that you're conceived to the moment you die. That's a scientific fact. So the fact of you can't learn something new is a lie. Is an absolute lie. Renewing your mind is possible because of the power of God. Allowing the Holy Spirit to direct your thoughts, it requires mindfulness. It requires a self-awareness. Declare what is true. Worry is not your master. In fact, worry is distrusting the power and the presence of God. Worry is not trusting the power and presence of God. Worry is not your master. Worry is not my master. I don't have to worry about the future because I can't control it anyway. And as soon as I start trying to control it, it never turns out well. And you know that too. Not settling for mediocre. To thank Him, to praise Him, to worship Him. What if tomorrow morning on the way to work or this afternoon, instead of listening to talk radio, you put on worship music and you praised Him or you thanked Him? Instead of binge-watching something, how about if you took the time to engage in mindfulness meditation on the Word of God? How about surrounding yourself with people that will hold you accountable and lift you up and speak the truth because they do love you? Because one of the greatest weapons that evil has is isolation. And as I said to you yesterday, I'd encourage you to do this every morning and then throughout the day as life hits you. Because life always hits the fan. Declaring over and over, Jesus really is Lord of my life. And that's not dictated by circumstances or my emotions or my feelings. Jesus is Lord of my life. And because He's Lord of my life, He sits on the throne of my life. And nothing can be added to that and nothing will be taken from that. He loves me unconditionally because 1 John 4:8 says God is love. And because He is love and because it's an action word, He will show me His love today. And therefore, because He shows me His love today, I in turn will show others love today, regardless of their emotions, in regards of their thoughts, and regardless of their words. I will lead in love because the God who is love lives in me and He's going to live through me. Amen? Renewing our minds is a lifelong process. Is a lifelong process. Renewing your minds and obtaining the peace of God isn't something to give lip service to. It is something to hunger and long for and allow to become a part of who you really are. Okay? And I have one more point for you. It's just not in the PowerPoint. Renewing your mind. You can go to the next one, John. Go ahead. Real life benefits of renewing our minds. Peace. God's peace. We've talked about that. Desire to know God. Okay? Because if He is sovereign and He's the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Prince of Peace, truth is imparted by the Holy Spirit, we can live a meaningful life. We can live on purpose. We can live on point. You ever think about that little phrase I just said to you? It's a phrase we don't use very much. Do you live on point? Do you live with a readiness that says, God, all day, every day, I'm with you? Peace, God's peace, a desire to know God, and a meaningful life. That third one, meaningful life, I don't know where you are, but I can assure you of something. I can make a list of people that I come in contact with. That number three, that is something that they think is surreal, that's not obtainable. You know what most of our culture thinks life is like? I get up, I go to work, I come home. And somewhere in between, if I happen to have fun or a good moment, it'll probably be at the expense of somebody else or an off-color joke or something that I watched I shouldn't have watched or music I shouldn't listen to. It'll be something that's not life-giving. It'll be something that brings momentary relief from the misery that they're in. Did you hear what I just said? Most of our culture lives with a mindset that says, if I can find one moment of relief a day, I've accomplished something. Where the Prince of Peace says it's a way of life because you don't know what's going to happen to you. You really might be thrown in jail for the gospel. You might feel like you're in prison right now when you go to work or the family you live in. But the Prince of Peace is there, giving you a new perspective. Peace, God's peace, a desire to know God in a meaningful life. That's the culture we live in. Living on point. And the last one that's not up there, probably confused you, didn't I, John? Is this. When a lot of mission organizations, not just Christian ones, but relief aid, so to speak, when they go to many foreign countries, like agencies that go to like Syria, or go into Israel even, or go into Lebanon, or go into Asian countries, most of those people that voluntarily go, they have to fill out something. It's called proof of life. They have to fill out a form, and they have to ask their questions in case they're kidnapped. And what it is simply like this. If I was going to Syria as part of an aid worker, I would be handed a piece of paper and with all my emergency contact that says, Kathy gets all my kingdom if I don't make it back. Okay? Y'all can laugh at that. There ain't much of a kingdom. But if you're kidnapped, in the event you're kidnapped, and we ask for proof of life, Dane, you need to have at least three questions that only Kathy knows the answer to that your captors would not know the question. Kind of like those stupid, annoying security questions you get asked. Okay, you know, where were you born? What's the name of your favorite pet? You know, those good questions. So in the event that I get captured, and they won't allow me to talk to Kathy or somebody else that knows me well to see me as proof of life, they can ask me, I can tell them, here's how you can prove that I'm alive to my family and friends. You can ask them where I was born, my mom's middle name. And Kathy or someone should be able to answer that question to prove that I'm still alive. I believe this in my heart of hearts because God spoke this to me. One more benefit is this, the proof of life. The proof of life. Your life. Proof of life. Your life. Is God really in it? Or have you tried to add Him? Proof of life. There probably won't be any more money in the bank account this afternoon. Your kids still might be driving you crazy. Your spouse might still be wondering, proof of life? I'd take that life out. Proof of life. You know, when He says we're the salt and the light and we're a city on a hill and we're a light on a lampstand, do you know what those really are? They're life givers. They're life givers. Benefits of renewing our mind? There's proof of life in us and through us. And we're not done until God says we're done. We will not be a people that are victims. We serve a mighty, risen Savior. And He is in the business of renewing us. But our culture says renew from the outside in. My God, in His Word, says I'm going to renew you from the inside out. Because when we reflect that which we think, we are life givers. We are life givers. You are the peace in a situation. You are the knowledge of God. You are having a meaningful life. And so am I. What greater privilege is there to move from get to have to want to? It's not as hard as we make it out to be. It requires surrender. It requires changing our thought pattern, to change our mindset, to say, I have awareness today that I've never had before. And I will not get by on scraps when I can sit at the table with the King. We will not get by on scraps. We will not get by on a few words from God's Word. We will not get by on a wing and a prayer, blessing the food is the only time we pray. We're going to have depth to us because we're going to live on point. And we're going to show in our lives that we serve the living Savior. So I don't know today what might have to change, what you may have to give up, give over, surrender, begin to change. Because I want you to know something. This is extremely, I'm just being honest with you, okay? Extremely difficult to do up on your own. Because I could stand at the head of the line of someone that can talk themselves into something. I really can. You know, I'm always joking with you about Amazon Prime, the downfall of mankind. It wasn't the internet. It was Amazon Prime that took us down. Because left to our own, I can lie to myself better than evil can lie to me. Because I can take the truth and shift it just a little bit. And you know what it sounds like in Dane's mind a lot of times? You ready? I know I should, but I won't right now. I know I should, but I can't right now. I know I should, but I don't feel like it right now. I know I should, but I don't have the time. I know I should, and then you fill in the blank. God is not going to give up. God's not going to give up on you. He is pursuing you with that unending love. This morning, I'd encourage you to ask yourself, to be honest with yourself and say, okay, that all sounds good. God, make it happen. Let Him tear down what you and I have done a great job of building up that wasn't of Him. Let Him renew our minds, pathways. So where is your life headed? What is the direction of your life? It may look good on paper. It may look good to the rest of us. I don't know. But where is it headed? Let's pray. Gary, you can come on down. Our altar will be open. Dusty and Audrey and Rick and Regina will be up here, and Kathy and I will be up here for prayer. But I'm telling you today, you better live on point, and you better live actively, and you better live with an intention and an intensity like never before to see this happen in your life. And I know I've said a lot over the last 3 weeks, okay? I know that. And if you have more questions or you want to talk to Dusty or Rick or I'll be glad to talk to you. As I tell my Tuesday Night Life group all the time, I could literally spend days talking to you about this. And I'm not exaggerating that. I could spend 40 hours next week talking to you about this. Okay? But it's what God has done that I would talk to you about, not what Dane has done. It's about what He has done. Okay? So I'm going to just pray. And if you want to come forward and pray with us, the altar will be open. You can go ahead and be bringing your cards and envelopes. You guys have done a good job the last few weeks with cards. Let's pile them up today. If you need a card, there's one on the back table. If you don't want to go get one, grab one afterwards and throw it in that basket back behind Rick and Regina. We enjoy praying with you because we're with you. We're not for you. We're with you. Lord God, we know You're doing a good work because You're a good God and You only know how to do good works. Lord, I pray today for us to be the people of God. Lord, I know that there's been some killing, destroying, stealing going on, but God, You're a redemptive God. You're a reconciling God. And I'm praying today, God, You will redeem, that You'll reconcile. God, I praise You that You're not against us, You're for us. Every moment of every day. These next few moments, God, what's on Your heart? In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to have somebody pray with you, it's a good time. Or you want to pray at the altar with somebody, that's a good time. Or you can bring your cards and envelopes. That's a good time for that. If you have cards and envelopes, you can be bringing those up. The pastors, we never just run out of here typically unless there's an emergency somewhere else. So, you know, we don't just give lip service to amen, that we're just finishing a season. We always hang around. All of us do for a little while. So, and you know, it's we and a lot of you, and I praise God for it, consider it a privilege to pray with individuals. Okay? So I'm just going to pray for us, and then we'll be done for this time. But God's still stirring. As you enter this season of the year, enter it in a mindfulness of peace. A mindfulness of peace. Do not bow to the culture. Thank You, God, for Your faithfulness. Thank You, God, for Your gentleness. Thank You for Your goodness. Lord, I pray for us today, the truth that we have experienced of You today would be sealed. God, we're challenged to produce a righteous harvest. That's not for somebody else. Lord, I pray Your protection over our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.